Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Broadcasting from the Shaw's Star Market Studios, the home of Dale and Keith, middays 10 to 2. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston, a radio.com sports station.
This hour of the Greg Hill Morning Show brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Their summer clearance event. Get your new 2020 Ram Bighorn today.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show with your host, Greg Hill. Streaming live from WEEI.com and the radio.com app. And now, it's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
12 o'clock start. Don't forget, a lot of the back-to-back games, specifically with us and well, everybody, is you're traveling and you're getting a poor night's sleep and an early morning. So those won't be the case in this particular back-to-back. Everyone should sleep well tonight, get some rest. So there's that consideration too. So you got two things that you know can tilt towards Tuukka getting a back-to-back start. I'm not saying that's going to happen because the conversation needs to be had with him and goalie Bob. And if we feel Yarrow gives us the best chance to win, we'll certainly go that route.
Bruce Cassidy says that it will. Sounds like he says it'll most likely be Tuukka, which is what Wiggy wants, not what Ken wants. Ken, you want Halak. And great, now I have to have a gyro for lunch.
Oh, say gyro.
But your reasoning is, again, remind me?
Well, Wiggy said you worry about the wheels falling off would be the only reason that you would do this. And that's a significant worry that you worry about, particularly given the circumstances.
No. I said that you ride him till the wheels fall off. Because
Would you want to do that? Why would you want to ride anybody and make the wheels fall off?
Because we all know that it's about having a hot goalie, right? And the goalie needs to be in the net. And I don't want to potentially give away a game because I'm sitting my best player.
Just signed Halak to an extension. You believe in him. You think he's one of the best backups in the league. He's a 1B starter, not really a backup. He's good. So you don't feel like there's much of a drop-off.
But he's not your best goalie. So if my best goalie is healthy, then I play my best goalie.
But would you be able to say that Tuukka is hot right now?
I wouldn't say that he's hot right now, but... Wow! Oh, so that's even more of an argument to keep him in nets.
Why?
Yeah, because maybe. So he's still coming off the round robin, which Brad Marchand told you was the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
And so you give him another game tonight to get his legs under his footing,
rust off.
I mean, I think we would all agree a couple of those goals yesterday were soft that he gave up.
Definitely the third one. It's a long distance. Maybe through a screen, but still.
You could make that argument. Two of the three goals were soft, but that would be even more of an argument on why I would keep him in net. Let him knock that rust off. You don't want to just take him out and then put Halak in.
Knock the rust off? He just had four periods plus five minutes.
Let me ask this question. If you play Halak tonight, right, and the Bruins lose, what do you think everybody's saying tomorrow?
Yarrow be there.
Oh, everybody's saying that it was a huge mistake.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So let's
but,
not.
But
let's,
what if he is potentially your hot goaltender?
So let's say he goes out there and now you have a goaltender controversy.
We get back to schools.
That's what Ken wants. Ken wants a goaltender controversy.
No. I mean, Tuukka's clearly their best guy. He's a little bit better than Yarrow. But
he is.
If you go to him and he says, you know what, I would rather have an extra day, you know, if all things are equal, I could see Rask saying that.
But if Tuukka says that, right, you ask Tuukka, you want to play tonight? And if Tuukka goes no, then you got no choice.
But you think there's a chance in hell Tuukka Rask says no?
No, well, that's what Ken just said.
Yeah, he might.
I think you dance with what brung you. You were the President's Cup champs at the end of the season, whenever that season stopped. You had the best record in the NHL, and that was Tuukka. I mean, the majority of that was Tuukka. So I say, yeah, you go with Tuukka.
You got to be smart, though. This team's about winning four series, 16 wins, not just one series. They're not going all in to beat the Canes. I mean, obviously, you got to win, but nobody comes out of a game one fearing Carolina to win the series.
But if Tuukka doesn't play, you create potentially more of a controversy, right?
Because
the first thing we talked about is if they lose, we're all questioning Cassidy on why he didn't play Tuukka, right?
Yeah, I mean, he just kind of eliminated using the back to back as an excuse because he's saying in the bubble,
right?
The back to back is not really an excuse
because there's no travel.
Yeah,
right.
Well, what he did is he'll make Rask look bad now. If they don't sit him, people will say, "Oh, Tuukka tapped out. He didn't want to play."
Today. Right. So there's another issue. Then if Locke plays well, Greg, you just brought this point up. Then what do you think people are saying? You don't think people are going, "Wait a second, you need to play Locke."
No, come on. We just had
a call. Marie just called and said that there are still people out there that don't think Tuukka is a good enough goalie.
They don't think he's your number one. They don't think he's good enough to win.
Right.
The cup.
So if Halak is in nets tonight, and let's just say, Curtis loves to say it, let's say he stands on his head, you don't think that creates a little bit of controversy?
Nope. Not with a team. I mean, you have some.
I'm
yes,
talking
there
about
are some Tuukka haters.
I'm
okay.
talking about the fans, the media. I'm not talking about the players in that locker room.
I mean, we're going to listen to a guy who wants to sit Chara. I mean, I'm sorry, Wiggy, but I don't.
Why? Should Chara be your first pairing defenseman?
Yes.
Then you know nothing about hockey, right?
Oh.
Snap.
Yeah, I'm pulling a deal on you.
Okay.
I mean, I think the biggest news story this morning is that Boston fans are all over Chara versus Brady. 59% of those voted said that Chara playing defense in the NHL is more impressive than Tom Brady playing quarterback in the NFL.
At their age.
Physically. At their age of 43.
So the poll question on the show Twitter feed was, which is more impressive, Chara at 43 mm-hmm. or Brady at 43 in their respective positions.
Should be who's better at their age, Chara or Brady?
Well, that's no contest.
Exactly. So physically, Chara, the physical toll that playing hockey takes on your body versus the physical toll that take your body playing quarterback, you can't compare the two.
No,
and
I would
agree with that.
No,
but
you can't
call him the Tom Brady of hockey.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, exactly. You can't call him the Tom Brady of hockey because Tom Brady is still one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. Is Chara even in the top 20 in defensemen in the NHL?
I'm still thinking about you saying this morning during the 6 o'clock hour that if they don't win the cup this time, it's the biggest disappointment in Boston sports history.
With this core, it is. Think about the core that you have.
The biggest disappointment in Boston sports history.
As far as the core not, of a team.
Not the Grady not the Grady Little incident.
Nope.
Not the perfect season 18-0 losing to the Giants.
No, because
that's a moment in Boston
it's
sports.
It's the greatest story ever, and
no,
it was ruined.
That's the moment. When you look at this core and you look at this team, since 2011, when they won a Stanley Cup, they haven't done anything. And they've basically had the same core since then.
But there have been good teams. They're not considered the best team in hockey.
Should they have won another Stanley Cup?
Yes, they should have.
Okay, if they don't win another Stanley Cup, isn't going to be the biggest disappointment in Boston sports by a team?
No, I think people will look back and say Ovechkin was great, Crosby was great. That's your three cup winners in the last 4 years. St. Louis, I don't know. Were they a better team last year?
No.
They proved it, I guess, over the series. They were tougher.
Chicago, you led 3-2 in that series.
That was a weird series. I mean, nobody won a home game in that series.
Wait, didn't they lose in six to Chicago?
No, you led 3-2 in the game.
Oh.
In game six, you led 3-2 at home against the Chicago Blackhawks. And you lost that game.
I think you can make an analogy to the 70s Bruins, obviously before my time, but I think a lot of old school Bees fans say that Bobby Orr left one on the table. They should have won more than two with that team.
Well, you don't think they should have won more? You don't think they should have won more than one with this core? This is the same core.
Last year was an epic choke.
Right, and there's a chance that they probably should have won.
An epic choke?
Big time.
Yes.
Game seven was rough.
They had the
game seven was rough, but you're playing in a game seven in the Stanley Cup.
The Blues were under 500 at halfway at
and
the halfway point.
Echoke
of the
is getting swept.
No, Echoke is you're at home for game seven. You have a much better roster.
They had a 2-1 series lead.
They had the easiest road in NHL history to get to a Stanley Cup final, and they lost to a mediocre Blues team.
So they lose to a mediocre Blues team.
But the Blues were good this year, so they've kind of proven they were not a fluke, right? They were the number one seed in the West.
But you're still supposed to be weren't the Bruins the best team in hockey? That's what everybody tells me.
Well, they had the best record.
So you lose to the Blues last year in Game 7. You lose to the Chicago Blackhawks, where a lot of people think, you know, that's a series that you could have won, right? But even we'll take that one off the board. Now, so you got the 2011 Stanley Cup. You should have had the one from last year, and then you should be right back in it with another opportunity to win it again. So you're talking about the same course since 2011, which should have three Stanley Cup championships, and they only have one.
I'd much rather have been a Bruins fan than a Celtics fan over the last decade and a half. I mean, not even close.
Well, the Celtics were the biggest underachievers with their big three. They only won one
title.
Well,
there you go. Bigger choke job, you know, bigger fail than the Bruins. Celtics.
Patriots choked in both of those Super Bowls with
the
Giants.
Yeah, but the Patriots won six Super Bowls.
I know they did. But both of those losses to the Giants were
choke jobs. Those were huge choke jobs.
Should be noted that Brady gave them the lead late in the fourth of both of those games. Belichick's defense.
You're insufferable.
I mean, we should also get to Belichick benching Butler. That is the biggest choke in the history of sports.
This is Andrew. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Calling in basically because Robin Leonard and Marc-Andre Fleury, I feel like, is the best example of that whole Tuukka Rask thing you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Marc-Andre Fleury twice now has, I mean, not had a chance to, I mean, really defend his then he loses his job. And, I mean, that's what could happen with, Rask with what you're talking about if you're saying put it in Jaroslav Halak tonight because, I mean, it's the playoffs. Ride the hot goalie. You don't just let it. So he finds it out.
You're kind of cutting out, but we get your
point.
He's
making my point that there's been a lot of goalie
It was once, and he's talking about the Matt Murray and...
No, well, he's saying this year
he's
Vegas.
He's talking about Murray and Fleury.
No, he's talking about this year Vegas. They're rotating Leonard in with Fleury. But Fleury and Murray with the Penguins when they were with Pittsburgh did the same.
Sounds like a law firm.
It's either a law firm or it's like the new version of Bosom Buddies with Peter Scolari and your buddy over there.
They did the same for the second cup that they won in 2017. But in 2016, they rode Murray the whole way.
Capitals used two goalies when they won.
No, they didn't. Look at it. They used Hopi the whole time.
He didn't start the first series. He didn't.
Hopi didn't play in two games.
Yeah, because he
didn't play in, they were 0-1.
Well, that's why they made the change.
Right, but he played 99%.
But he wasn't like the clear-cut franchise going in. They were like...
No, but they rolled the hot goalie.
Okay.
Tuukka's your guy, and you just heard Cassidy say it. I think the bubble thing is important because it doesn't... Back-to-back doesn't really matter.
Right.
There's no travel
So why
involved.
Are we even having a discussion of...
Well, because Ken brought it up.
Well, Ken's an idiot.
Well, Cassidy just said we could go with Yarrow. It's an option.
But he did say... He said it was an option, yes, but he's going to go with Tuukka. Speaking of bubbles... What do you think of the NBA now allowing NBA players to have sex in the bubble?
Okay.
It has to be with their long-term partner relationship.
So nobody's having sex in the bubble then for the NBA.
Good thing Galante West is no longer playing.
It can't be with like a rando. It has to be with your...
Well, that takes all the fun out of it now,
it does?
Doesn't it? Well, honey, I'm going to be bubbled up for 3 months. I'll see you on the other side.
Those guys are probably in a spiritual, committed relationship, the guy said earlier.
In other news, the Kardashians are going to be live broadcasting from inside the bubble.
You don't think LeBron wants to see his wife and have some good cuddle time?
Of course he does.
Mm-hmm. Let them have it.
Do you think LeBron is Big Spoon or Little Spoon?
Little Spoon.
I don't even know.
Because he's got to be Big Spoon on the court.
I don't even know what Big Spoon, Little Spoon means.
Big Spoon is the one on the outside that's cuddling the other person. Right. The Little Spoon is the one that's being cuddled.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
With you and Mrs. Wiggins, it's more like ladle and little mini spoon.
What's ladle? What's a ladle?
What's a ladle?
Yeah.
You don't know what a ladle
no,
is?
No, I don't know what a ladle is.
How do you get soup out of a pot? You use a ladle.
I,
You've never heard of like a ladle?
Nah.
The big spoon with the long handle that's like the like you're cupping a, you know.
Help.
What's a ladle? I don't know. Did you know what a ladle was?
Yes.
That was the first time I've heard that, a ladle. Just give me the big spoon in there. Which one? This one, Nani? Nope. The other one. That one? Okay, there you go. You think I went around? You think my grandmother went, can you grab me the ladle?
I don't know.
Of course she did. Why wouldn't she?
No, she didn't. Because I'm telling you. It's the first time
No, she's like, grab me the wooden spoon.
Yeah, it's the first time I heard ladle. Which spoon? Grab me the big spoon, the wooden spoon, the
grab
small
me whichever
spoon?
One is going to leave the biggest mark on your dumb ass.
Well, she had a piece of wood for that one.
By the way, spooning with LeBron is hell on earth. That would be the most miserable experience.
It's like a whole tumbler.
Talking, about himself for like an hour.
No, it's like spooning with Wiggy.
No, I do not talk about myself.
Really?
Oh, sometimes I don't. Are you Big Spoon or is Mrs. Wiggins?
I would say that I am Big Spoon.
You're Big Spoon. You're ladle.
Wiggy's in a whole other silverware drawer. He's like, I'm going to be over here.
He's ladle.
No, we like to spoon.
Yeah?
Yeah, we like spooning.
Right. Till you start to snore.
Spooning, and
then, then you get
Wiggins,
to push away.
Spooning leads
then you call Lou.
Spooning leads to the Midnight Madness. Spooning leads to.
Oh, is that what it leads to?
That's what it leads to. That's what it leads to.
All right.
She has a great life, Danielle.
I guess so.
We're going to get a Red Sox front office report from Sam Kennedy, the president of the Red Sox, coming up in about 10 minutes. Mm. And then we're going to talk some hockey with Pierre Maguire at 9.
We'll ask him what he thinks.
Yes, about Rask and about your absolute hate for Zdeno Chara.
It's not hate. Guy's had a tremendous, he's the first ballot Hall of Famer.
Absolutely,
but,
he is.
But he hasn't been good in 4 years. I mean, why can't we be honest about
it? Now it's four. It was 3 years.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years.
You are Kellerman. It's unbelievable.
No, I know.
It's true. Ken, stop. Stop pandering. You're the hockey guy. I thought Greg was, but when Greg said he needs to be on the first pair, truthfully, when's the last time Chara was good? Be honest.
Well, good. I mean, he's not what he was. I'm a little worried. But
put those goalposts on, Will.
He doesn't stink. He played 25 minutes. And played pretty well yesterday, by the way.
Oh, he did?
Did you notice him flubbing?
No, you didn't notice him because everybody else was flying around him. No. That's why you didn't notice him.
He had a good game yesterday.
Man, you guys, boy. I'll tell you. Just because you go to the North End and see him doesn't mean you can't say nothing.
I don't ever see him in the...
Critical of him.
I saw him one time. Where was that? That was at the Joe's American or whatever that place is over there. And the guy, by the way, he was recovering from... Like a shoulder, he had his jaw was wired shut. He had his shoulder.
I never said he wasn't tough. I mean, that's a different story.
The guy's a warrior. Absolutely.
Nobody's
warrior.
Saying he's not.
All right. We got to get to Ken and what is trending.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
If you're trying to lose weight, and it's the weight you put on the last few months, probably, you realize it's harder to take it off than it was to put it on. It doesn't have to be. Just ask Wiggy. Awaken180weightloss.com is your place. We've got some sports updates in terms of fans being allowed to attend. The Masters out November 9th week, the 12th through the 15th, basically. No fans.
Yeah,
no,
but
no
we do know. Augusta. So we have an official date now for the Masters,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
Yeah.
November 12th. Which good.
Which is great news.
The year of canceled awesome trips continues. I had tickets for the first time ever to
you
the Masters.
You did?
Wow. Yep. I didn't know that.
My parents' neighbors are members. Jesus. They hooked us up. We had a place to stay. The whole deal.
And Greece, you said that you
Greece,
were going?
Greece.
Oh, and Hawaii,
place
right?
Looks Florida. Beautiful. Hawaii.
Jesus.
One trip after another. But I believe Curtis will be able to use those tickets next year to the Masters. I think that's guaranteed.
All right.
In terms of Kentucky Derby time, limited number of fans. That's going to be September 5th. So Churchill Downs is saying no more than 14% of whatever the attendance record was, which is 170,000 people. So it's still a good...
Yeah, they're
going to
have.
People.
They're talking about 23,000 fans at the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, that's not bad.
We know 87,000 are going to be at Indy.
Are they? They have that many at Indy?
Well, they're Indy's 20% of what they would normally hold, and I guess they hold like 350,000 people.
Wow, there you go.
So they're going to have 87,000 there.
And what about a birthday party for your kid in Massachusetts?
No,
we're not having a birthday party.
No,
we're having a birthday protest.
Okay.
How many people at the Kentucky Derby will actually be watching it and not trying to take Instagram selfies with their fascinators and fancy hats?
How does Brady go to that during football season?
I don't think he can go during football season. his annual trip is going to have to be postponed this year.
We're not going to get the Bubs Brady Dola photo with possible addition of Gronk. Sad.
Yeah.
Patriots got their first workout in yesterday with helmets and shells. They'll have pads next week. Mike Giardi, the Lamar Miller signing went official, Wiggy. Mm-hmm. Here's a little bit of Giardi talking about why the Pats brought Miller in.
Well, hard not to look at the move, Rhett, for signing Lamar Miller and not look at Sony Michel on the PUP, foot surgery in May, which is obviously a little bit late during the course of the offseason. And there is a concern right now in Foxborough that he might not be ready to go for week one, which is about a month from now.
So there you go. So if Sony's out for week one, you think Lamar Miller was not a big deal, right?
What about Damian Harris?
I don't know. We barely saw him last year.
Right. I thought he was going to be part of that mix-up. I don't know. What, like the Lamar Miller thing, I told you, that to me is like Eric Decker. He might be here. He might not be here. Who the hell knows?
But Giardi's saying he might be your starter. Kind of hinting at that.
Yeah. Well, maybe he knows something that we don't know.
And I'm a little more worried about the Sixers and the Celtics, I think, than you guys are. But this, they own the regular season matchup. Mm-hmm. They've got the best player, Joel Embiid, the star. I know they don't have Ben Simmons. You think this will be a cakewalk? It's set now?
I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk.
Nah, but the Celtics should win.
You don't like the way the Celtics have been playing? I mean, they've won five straight.
Yeah, but against who? They've been playing a bunch of Scribinis.
Philly
has given Tatum problems.
How is that guy still the coach of the Sixers? He's such a boob. That Brown guy, he's awful. Every year he gets out-coached by Stevens.
I mean, they played well against Milwaukee. That was a week ago.
They'll win that series.
This is going seven, I bet you.
It probably will.
He'll win that series. You know, as long as Kemba can get you, 35, 38 minutes, you'll be fine.
New contract for Brad Stevens. He had a year left on his deal right through 2021, mm-hmm. but they gave him an extension anyway. And Sean McDonough makes his return to the Sox booth 4:30 this afternoon. Nice little pregame for the Bruins game. On the Shaw's and Star Market, WEI Red Sox Radio Network, 3:30 pregame. You know he's going to be roasting Castig. This will be a must-tune in. All kind of COVID jokes. It's the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Are you a little emo this morning, Ken? What's going on?
Feel like 90s vibe.
I feel like you're. When it comes to rejoins, you've been a little emo this morning. Well, everything all right?
Goo Goo Dolls, Gin Blossoms.
Okay. By the way, Wiggy correction, there will be no fans at Indy this year.
Oh, man, they caved. They caved.
So, but there will be fans at the Kentucky Derby.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll find out when Sam Kennedy joins us if there will be fans at a Red Sox game this season. My guess is no.
No.
I think there should be.
Who makes the call on that? Is that the mayor or the governor?
I don't think anybody knows at this point.
I don't think the two of them know.
No.
I mean, I would assume
the governor will make the call about Gillette because of the masks.
The governor would make the call about fans at Patriots games, mm-hmm. but I would guess it comes down to the Burgermeister, Meister Burger, when it comes to Fenway. That's in his purview.
Because when was that with your governor? When was the race in New Hampshire with Governor Sununua?
That was a couple weeks ago.
And they had the fans there, right? Yeah. 14,000 something like that.
Sununua.
Yeah. that was a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
All right. Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline, it is the president of the Boston Red Sox, Sam Kennedy. Sam, good morning.
Good morning, Greg, Danielle, Wiggy. How are you guys?
Good morning. How you doing?
Well, we've had better years, but we're putting one foot in front of the other, keeping things going.
I did want to follow up when it comes to fans. What have your discussions been like with the mayor or the governor when it comes to this?
So we've had ongoing conversations with both the state and the city. There's three levels of approval. We've got to get approval and permission from Major League Baseball, first and foremost, as a league, and then we would need to secure approvals from the state and the city. We've made our case. We've presented to all three, and we're waiting to hear back. So we'll be guided by the health experts, but we really do think if we were given the opportunity, we could pull off a socially distanced Fenway. And we've been working with the Patriots. They have a similar plan for Gillette Stadium. So look, it's unprecedented. I know it's an overused word. We're hopeful to try and do it, but we'll have to wait and see what the experts say.
Do you get any indication from Major League Baseball? I mean, are they thinking just the playoffs? I mean, I know they're. I want to ask you about bubbling during the playoffs and stuff, but has there been any indication from them about when they might say yes to fans anywhere?
Yeah, it's a good question. We were on a call yesterday with the commissioner, and you know he's trying to figure out what the best plan here is as it relates to the end of the season. You know, for September, he's got different municipalities, different caseloads all around the country. Obviously, Massachusetts has done incredibly well. We'd be sort of a model citizen in terms of having the opportunity to try and do it, given how well we've done here. But obviously in some other states, it's not quite as good a story. So he's weighing that. There's several clubs who are looking at doing it. A few clubs have permission to do it. And the question will the commissioner's office allow us to do it in one city and not in another? I think that's a possibility, but we'll have to see. And we'll keep everybody posted on that. We're hoping to do it. These games at Fenway with no fans are, you know, it's an eerie feeling. It's just a totally different atmosphere, and it's great to have the games on and to be playing baseball, but without fans at Fenway is something that we hope is very temporary.
Sam, why do you think that the commissioner of Major League Baseball just didn't go the route of the NFL where he said, hey, listen, you can have fans. It's just based on what the state and local officials, you know, percentage of how many people could be at a stadium?
Yeah, well, essentially, the commissioner hasn't made a final decision. So he's weighing that exactly, Wiggy. He's trying to figure out what the local states are saying, how many states would allow fans back in for a socially distanced experience. I think the NFL is frankly doing the exact same thing. We're all going week to week, but it's going to be driven by data and ultimately by the governors and the mayors and the individual states. Once the federal government kicked the reopening plans back to the states, that's the way we have to do things. So, we'll see. We again, being in an outdoor environment with transmission rates being low, as long as people are wearing masks and socially distanced, we have a great operations plan that we think will work. It's been blessed by our doctors, but we'll see how it plays out. I hope we can, you know, get fans back as soon as possible, whether it's Fenway, whether it's at Gillette, as we go forward. It's just such an important part of the overall experience. Obviously, safety comes first, but we think we can pull it off in a way that is safe.
Well, since he gave in last minute and let the governor worm his way into that first pitch, he ought to allow you.
Well, you know, I love how you guys, you know, your job is to beat up on everybody in town. So we get that. But look, let's just look at the facts. Charlie Baker, Marty Walsh, you know, you guys might be tough on them, but these guys, look at the data, look at the numbers in Massachusetts. I mean, we're in a great spot. Yeah. We are in a great spot. And look around the rest of the country, and we don't have that. I was on the phone with Derek Jeter yesterday down in Miami. He said, Sam, there's no way we're going to get fans in the stands here. So it really depends on your municipality, and great leadership matters, and we have it here. So I know you guys are quick to beat up on them.
We're just having fun, sort of Sam.
Of course, goes to the territory. But look, if we can, we got to get the schools reopened. We got to get fans at Gillette and at Fenway. This is, you know, we're all ready to move on from 2020. Unfortunately, it's probably going to take a little while.
Do you? What do you think of the bubble plan? Do you like that for the playoffs?
Yeah, I like it. I think the NHL and the NBA have done a great job. It wasn't a realistic option for Major League Baseball, given the number of people, the number of games, the venues that would be needed to play a condensed Major League Baseball season. But I think that Major League Baseball could effectively pull off a bubble environment. You've seen the positivity rates in baseball are incredibly low, less than half of 1%. Did have an issue with the Marlins and the Cardinals, but the numbers have been really good since that time. And we're not in a bubble. And you look at the NBA and the NHL, and they've so far pulled it off very well. So I think that's something that you might see for the 2020 Major League Baseball postseason.
Are the Cardinals, are they going to play again this year? Or what's the...
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to play again, and they need to get going. It's it is such a strange season and difficult to pull off. But yeah, the Cardinals will get going again, and hopefully they'll get enough games in to sort of be meaningful as to compare to the rest of the league. And then the commissioner is going to have even more difficult decisions in terms of trying to determine division winners and runner ups and all that. So that's why he makes the big bucks.
So you mentioned earlier not the best start to a season so far. Have you heard from teams with interest in anybody yet?
Well, yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I mentioned the Marlins. They haven't even had their home opener yet, given all the trials and tribulations that they've had. They opened their season at home on Tuesday, yet we're about 20 days or so from the trade deadline. So it's highly, highly unusual. But yeah, Haim and Brian O'Halloran and Raquel and Eddie have been already engaged with teams. Teams are trying to sort of position themselves for a postseason run here. And, you know, we got to get going. Look, we know we're 6-12. It's been an awful start. No one's proud of it. Frustrating, but at the same time, you can run off three or four wins. All of a sudden, you're two or three games back in the American League East, and anything can happen. So, no one's waving the white flag. But yeah, there are conversations going on, given the condensed season, given the fact that the trade deadline is just a couple weeks away.
Well, is there anybody on this team that is in your mind a no-go when it comes to interest from other teams?
You know, you look at this team and you look at, we still have a really young group of core players that you'd like to see with the Red Sox for a long, long time. But, you know, would never label anybody untouchable, just given the fact that sometimes to retool and restructure for the future, you do have to sometimes make difficult decisions, as you saw with the Mookie transaction. So I don't think anybody would be untouchable, as it were, but there are certainly guys that have grown up in the system that we'd like to keep with the Sox for a long, long time.
Hey, Sam, why did the Red Sox decide to start using humidors to store the baseballs? And is there a concern that's going to lower offensive production at Fenway? And also, does it like change from like April to summer?
Yeah, good question. It was not the Red Sox that decided to use humidors. It's a league initiative. I know there was some coverage of that earlier in the week. The league is looking to normalize the conditions in which the baseballs are stored to try and level the playing field with balls across the league. So it's an MLB experiment. And given the humidity in Boston in the summer months, and then the cold in April and May, and dry conditions later in the year, I think we were a market they wanted to try and test and see if they could normalize the humidity percentages. So that's about my level of expertise on the subject matter. We'll see how it goes, and baseball will MLB will continue to work on that. But that's we're just going along with the league rules on that one.
With the NFL right around the corner, I think baseball has kind of been, you know, the sport that everybody's kept their eyes on as far as, you know, coronavirus and, you know, teams having outbreaks. And besides the Phillies and Cardinals, it seems like everybody's done a great job. What do you think that you've done as a team that has been allowed you to not have issues that maybe some of these other sports can look at and go, well, it looks like they're getting it done in baseball as far as having a wide variety of outbreaks, and you guys play every day?
Yeah, it's a good point. I think it really, all the credit goes to Ron Renicki and his staff and our medical staff, Dr. Larry Ronan and Brad Pearson, just working with the guys, preaching all the things that we need to do in terms of masking and social distancing and being careful on the road. It's really been a tremendous effort. Also speaks to the players. This is a different generation, a different breed of players. We were talking about this the other day. You know, if we had had this pandemic in 2003 or four, I mean, imagine trying to keep Millar and Pedro and Manny and Big Poppy in line with these protocols. It would have been very different with the band of idiots. So this is a different brand of player. These guys are very focused on health and safety. And they've really been great. Our leaders, Mitch Moreland and Nady Evaldi and Xander Bogaerts and Jackie Bradley Jr. have been great about setting the good example. But we have to be diligent because, as we saw from these other teams, you're just a day away from an outbreak. So we got to stay on it.
Well, not to mention the risk when it comes to sharing chicken in the clubhouse. What you mentioned the manager. What grade would you give Ron Renneke at this point?
You know, Ron's done a great job. It's been tough. We obviously have dealt, not an excuse, but we've dealt with some injuries at the top of the rotation. He's keeping everybody positive, and he's just done a really, really good job. It's a tough situation given some of the lack of personnel, and so we need to. That's on us. We need to give Chaim and his team the continued flexibility and resources to get things going here. So Ron's done a great job under incredibly difficult conditions on many levels.
Yeah, I would say the incredibly difficult conditions would include the starting rotation. I've been watching this team my whole life. I have never seen a rotation on the Red Sox this bad in my life. My question would be, how did we get here, and what's the plan to fix it this season, if there is one?
Yeah, well, I agree. It's been a decimated rotation. There's just no way around that. When you have a trade that involves David Price, who's in the top of your rotation, and then you have Chris Sale go down with Tommy John and E-Rod go down with coronavirus and complications from that, essentially you had Eovaldi and Perez behind them. So it unfortunately has been a decimated rotation. You've seen a lot of guys trying to come in and help out. There's been some really good bright spots, whether it's Heath Hembree or Brandon Workman or Valdez, you know, guys who have given us some good innings. It's just when you don't have that top of the rotation and you've got guys coming in behind to try and pick up the slack, it builds and it gets harder and harder. And then, of course, you have the condensed season with no movement in the market in terms of trades and signings, given the way the season played out here. It's been really tough. So that's just sort of where we are. It's how we got here. As we go forward, we've always gone as far as our starting pitching will take us. When you go back, this is my 19th year here. We've had great Red Sox baseball teams, and you need that strong pitching at the top of the rotation. So health will help get us back. Trades, free agent acquisitions are always on the table for us. So we feel confident about the direction of the baseball operation with Chaim in charge, and looking forward to better days ahead from where we sit right now. It's bleak, and we understand that, but we're also confident in our ability to dig our way out.
Has there been any discussion to move the games back from 7:30 to 7 or a little earlier? And a follow-up on that, also, has there been any thought to moving game times to not have a conflict with Celtics or Bruins playoff games?
Yeah, there has been talk of both topics. Internally, we talk about scheduling issues each and every day. So, you know, the 7:30 experiment was designed to try and capture the largest television audience possible. And, you know, given the way the teams played, given maybe the nature of the pandemic with people being home more, perhaps that wasn't the right decision. We'll see as we go forward here. And in terms of the scheduling conflicts with the Bruins and or the Celtics, we have a difficult, because we play every day. It's really hard for us to adjust on the fly. We have done that in years past. But, you know, sometimes you find yourself in a situation like the Bruins yesterday, where they were set to play late in the day and then they played at 11 o'clock in the morning, given the overtime game. So we're literally in a day-to-day situation over here, trying to work our way through what's a highly unusual season. But yes, we do talk about changes to the schedule and being flexible.
All right, Sam, great to talk to you. Thanks for being on this morning. And Sean McDonough back in the booth tonight, so you got to listen on the radio.
Yes.
Or this afternoon, I should say.
Sean will be back, and like you said, I'm sure he'll have lots of takes on the coronavirus.
Yes, I'm sure he will. All right, Sam, good to talk to you.
Thanks, guys. Good to be with you.
All right. There you go. Curtis, you're getting a little credit for some high heat.
Ooh. Oh, look out.
Texter says, this texter says, fire me. Chris Curtis had the high heat during the interview.
So. All right, stop texting the show,
I'm
Curtis.
Glad it still goes through 37937 from my phone.
The Chris Curtis Morning Show. Oh, my God.
It's Pudge, actually. Pudge sent the text.
Pudge can't even watch the Sox this year. He's so pissed.
I love
the disclaimer. It was like, I've been a lifelong fan of this team for so long. But they were, you know, this pitching staff is awful.
My disclaimer, it's true. I've watched the team my whole life. Their pitching rotation is an abomination.
You hate baseball.
Not when I was, 04, man, junior year at BC, I was the biggest Sox honk alive.
So you don't hate the game. You
hate the players.
You literally hate the players. all right.
Wait till you see Kyle Hart today. Come on.
Is he related to Andy or?
I believe he is.
Might be.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I believe
he is. He's got a guest column at EI.com.
He's probably on Andy's Little League team.
Could be.
Top five hearts. All right. Go, Bradford.
We will take a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Real song,
yeah. That's Jimmy. Well, can you identify the artist?
No,
Jimmy is his first name. I already said it,
and his last name is something that we will never have again.
Yes, it's WPS.
Yeah, it's not a part of the new normal.
No.
Wait, is it? You would say that's WPS?
Yes, old stoner WPS.
Jimmy.
Oh, you mean the music, not what Curtis is talking about?
No, yeah. not what Curtis is talking about. Okay, no, Jimmy that's Page. The artist.
Huh?
Jimmy Page.
No.
Yeah, we're going to still have Pages.
No. That's Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett.
And Cheeseburger in Paradise. Which reminds me, there's a guy who got in trouble at work for starting a meat eaters only club because somebody else at work had started a vegans only club. Did you see this?
I did see the story. So yeah. if you guys are familiar with Reddit's
it was at the sports hub, I thought.
No, I know where you're going with this, and no. They have a forum on Reddit called Am I the A-Hole? And people will post, you know, stories about what happens in their lives and be like, am I the A-Hole here or am I wrong? So this guy posts a story about how his company allows employees to start lifestyle-based clubs, and the clubs are partially subsidized by the company. So it's like, I'm shocked this wasn't an Office episode, to be honest with you.
Yes, pretty cool idea. I like where it's going.
Petty cash, you know, have a little event. Mm-hmm. So because there is a vegan lifestyle club, one of the guys decided, he's 32 years old, he's like, I'm going to start a meat eaters only club. So the vegan leader went to HR to complain,
of course,
that the meat club was exclusionary, offensive to their lifestyle, and that eating meat was not a lifestyle.
Oh, eating meat is not a lifestyle?
Correct.
I beg to differ.
Is this the food version of Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter?
Yes, maybe it might
no,
be.
Yes. It's not even good. This is the food version of mask versus no mask.
Oh, this is the mask, no mask.
No, this is the food version of if you have one viewpoint, I'm going to take a bigger viewpoint and do the other thing and fight it.
But did HR say it was okay to have a meat eaters only
club? Well, it looks like they're going to have to back the guy up because there's really no reason for them to deny him.
Yeah.
But what the plan is for the meat eaters club to go to a burger place or a steak joint once a week to eat out. And the guy says that even though HR is probably going to approve his club, the woman who started the vegan club still won't talk to him, and the whole issue is dividing the office.
Mm. Huh. Well,
I mean, if he wants to have a meat-eating club, I mean, that's fine, right?
I don't have a problem with it.
No. I mean, just
I think
like she has a vegan club.
The argument from the vegan...
Why are you suggesting that it's a she who started the vegan club?
Well, because Danielle
said
just said
she. In the context
that's
of the story.
A guy.
Well, yeah. Danielle said she went to HR
and
complained about it.
She definitely has a coexist bumper sticker.
Oh, yeah. But she'll cut you off in that Prius.
Oh, she will.
Maybe Cam Newton will start a vegans only club on
That's
the
right.
New England
He's
Patriots.
Vegan.
He's a vegan.
Mm-hmm.
When these unnamed coaches say that affected his performance, do you think that's right as an athlete?
What, him being a meat eater?
Yeah.
Non-meat eater.
That it affected his performance.
No, how the hell would that affect his performance?
There's plenty of athletes that either have a completely vegan or a mostly plant-based lifestyle that are.
What does that have to do with any?
He's not getting protein from animal sources, so he's got to be weak.
Well, it should be noted that the coach that said it hurt him was Charlie Weiss.
I mean, the guy's in great shape.
But that's what an NFL coach said. I mean,
stop being a pee bag and get on record with it.
Nobody's making it up.
Yeah, that's like what Ken's lead was. Whatever his lead was this morning, where he asked a dumb question, that's just a stupid, stupid take by that coach. Just because he's a vegan? No, I mean, he's in great shape. Can he throw the ball? Mm-hmm. Can he throw the 15-yard out? Can he read the coverages? By him being a vegan, is that going to make him read the coverage better?
Well, an assault on my lead, which was simply, I wanted you to admit you were wrong about the Bruins, which you did. So what's wrong with my lead?
No, because you said you agreed that Tuca shouldn't play. That was dumb.
Well, that was separate.
Quote from the coach is, Kaepernick became a vegan. Remember when Kaepernick became a vegan, changed his body, and he wasn't as dynamic. Same with Cam, who was 265 and bigger than everybody. Now he's skinny at 235, and he wants to have ripped abs. He's not going to have the same power running the ball.
Yeah, but you can't just go. I hate when they do the weight thing, like 235 versus 265. Mm-hmm. You could have a photo where you look exactly the same.
Right.
235 versus 265 in both photos. Muscle is more dense than fat, so yeah, you're going to appear smaller. That's such a terrible comparison.
It's like the Gronk argument. I hate when they do it with Gronk. Right. Oh, look how skinny.
He's so skinny.
Listen, when Gronk is still a massive man, and so isn't Cam Newton. maybe because he's not 265, he might not be running guys over, but he shouldn't be running guys over now anyways. I mean, you know, he's changed his body to be a little bit more probably, Brady likes to call it, pliable, but more flexible, and that would help with some of those, you know, some injuries. And he's just, as long as he can read the coverage, throw the ball where it needs to be, don't matter if he eats meat, if he eats plants, if he eats poop, it don't matter.
I think that might probably sideline him for a bit. But
when it comes to a vegan based diet,
yeah.
Isn't there less protein?
No, there's plenty of protein sources. It's just they may not be as high as your conventional, you know, slab of steak, but you get chickpeas, all kinds of beans, a lot of different soy products, whether it's seitan or anything like that, lentils, tofu, they're all high protein.
Watch The Game Changers, the Arnold Schwarzenegger documentary. Very good. A lot of pro athletes
A side effect of veganism is that you become a pretentious douche.
Yeah, they're the biggest hodos. It's like, come on, start them and, you know, we're trying to save the world people, like, you know, the climate change. Like, you're the biggest hodo. You're mad because somebody, a poor guy in the office goes, all right, we want to have a meat day, and you got to go to the boss and complain.
The only reason you become a vegan is to tell people you're a vegan.
That's it.
That's not true.
He probably chose to have the meat eaters only club. To screw around with the vegan, the vegan only
because she was probably a douche anyways based on her being a vegan. Mm-hmm. She was probably like, oh my god, I can't believe you're eating that again. It's got the whole office smelling. You know what?
Your leather briefcase triggered me.
Right.
So you think that about Cam?
Yeah, I think Cam is I think he's definitely a vegan douche.
Whoa.
Wow. Be a man like Brady. Eat avocados. Wow.
You think Cam goes into Gillette and says, who microwaved fish?
Right.
Right.
And it's Steve Belichick.
Yeah. He's upset when he sees a lineman having three or four cheeseburgers with bacon cheeseburgers for lunch.
I can't heat up my food because somebody had hot dogs in the microwave. And
they exploded?
I'm not going to have my vegan food fall.
He protested the Five Guys at Patriot Place before practice.
How come when you go to a vegan restaurant, they don't have a meat option? You know how when you go to a regular restaurant.
Goes against the whole lifestyle, Craig.
Well, no, but they
great point.
We don't want you here.
They have a. Why don't they want me there? They don't want my money?
No.
I mean,
because they're hodos.
Because it goes against everything they believe in. They believe they don't.
It's not a religion. It's a food.
But to a lot of people that are very, you know.
But why do they have to let you know about it, right? Meat eaters don't run around going, oh, yeah, we eat meat.
Greg does. You know, have you seen his Instagram feed?
Well, Greg's different.
Look at this steak, but I only had a bite. I ate
Greg's
the salad
a unicorn,
behind it.
Right? But vegans, they go around and they look at you funny if you're eating meat. They, you know, say little things under their breath. They're whispering.
I feel like Fitzy could be a vegan guy.
They're not whispering.
Oh, yeah, they're whispering.
Under their breath?
They definitely are.
No, they're not doing it under their breath. They're doing it right in your face.
Arrabbiata. Oh, well, So I told you, you know who else is doing it in their face is the climate climate hardos too.
The climate hardos.
Yeah, they're doing it in your face. You drive that big truck, you must not want your kids to survive. Shut up. It's
they
true.
Are definitely the same person.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of those up at Hampton Beach. That's why Wiggy goes to Hampton Beach. But not a lot of vegans up at Hampton Beach.
No. Good, pure, meat-eating Americans.
With no masks on.
With no mask. And guess what? If you are wearing a mask, they're not judging you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They live your life. This is New Hampshire. Mm-hmm.
Now, Ken, several texters agree with you on Game Changers on Netflix.
Yeah, great.
What's the deal with it?
Well, Arnold has three athletes. I think Derek Morgan, several professional athletes. They sit down and they try...
Ron Renicky.
They take blood tests, basically, of after eating meat and after eating plant-based burgers. And it's, you know, they show the science behind it. I don't know if you can believe it totally, but one comes out cloudy and the other one comes out pure, basically.
Oh, it sounds like Fauci and the coronavirus.
But it's good. But the whole documentary is good, though.
Curtis, did you end up watching the final episodes of Surviving Epstein?
I did not have a chance yesterday. Okay. I will try and do it today.
You got to get to episode 4. I will admit it starts maybe a little slow, episode 1, but 2, 3, and 4 are extraordinary.
I will get through them all today.
On your favorite channel, the Lifetime channel. I know that's one of you.
I was wondering why I turned the TV on yesterday. It was the first thing that the last thing I watched was on Lifetime.
Yes. Lacey Chabert was on.
What the hell is
she
this?
She fell in love with a small town banker.
They were all crying and it was the
they
man's
keep
fault.
Running during the show. They run these promos for this Lifetime movie, which is about a sister-in-law who like moves in with the family and wants to kill the baby.
Oh, yeah.
It's like my
Didn't
evil sister-in-law.
They do that
with
Hand That Rocks the Cradle?
Yes.
It's Lifetime. They got to get one of the girls from 90210 to star in it.
Oh, no. By the way, going back to the HR story for a second, we actually were able to get some sound from the woman who started the vegan club.
You are going to remember her name. Her name is Snow. She's a beautiful little girl, and she just wants to live.
Yeah, she's a chicken, and she just wants to live. Poor Snow the chicken.
You know who else they're like? And I hate to say it, but because she's here, they're like the animal hoddles.
Because she's here. I have a name, you donkey. That's like when people...
She is an animal hardo.
So what?
They're the worst.
Oh, my God.
They're no different than the vegans
so
and
what?
The climate people.
I know.
What a loser I am for caring about abandoned animals. Oh they shoot
she,
me.
Like, stops her car in the middle of traffic.
Stop.
Because there's
No,
there's
not
a bird,
in traffic. I
Because there's
pull
a bird
over.
With a clipped wing on the
no,
side of the road.
No, I don't do
road.
Birds. But I will check a dead possum's
Slow
pouch.
Slow down. You see the geese are over here?
Well, when you're in a cab in Cambridge on Memorial Drive and you intentionally try to run down a goose because you're impatient.
Ugh, I
saw that happen once.
Seagulls and gooses? This world would be better off without
gooses.
Yeah, well, whatever. Geese. Yeah. This world with seagulls are the worst. I wish you could shoot
seagulls
them at the
seagulls?
Beach.
Seagulls
or
seagulls?
What?
Mine?
Yes. Oh, I hate
them. Mine?
Yes. Seagulls?
Mine?
Jeez. They're the worst. They're like the rats of the sky.
They are the rats of the. That's what LB used to see.
Yes,
Wiggy is
he's the
black LB.
LB.
He is the black LB.
Slightly
LB
more
said he used to call him the same thing. No, I know. We're up against the break. I bet you know what,
my boy LB.
By you know what was what she's done is that there was a dead possum roadkill on the side of the road. She got out of her car.
Yep.
And went and explored the innards of the possum to make sure that there weren't babies
innards,
in there.
Innards, you dummy. America's only marsupial. They carry their babies in a pouch. And
that's
oftentimes...
such a hot... What's a marsupial?
I know, she's like waving at the... Stop!
Yes.
Waving at the traffic. Stop! There might be baby possums in the pouch.
Yes. Instead of letting them get like run over 18 times or starve and die in the heat.
But do you have gloves with you?
Of course I have
like
gloves with me.
A surgical mask?
So do you pick up the roadkill?
I'll roll it over and say, well, if it's a boy, it's very obvious. And if it's not, if there's a pouch, you check it out. And then if the babies are still in there, you take the roadkill, you put it in a carrier, bring it to a wildlife rehab that does possums.
I was wondering who that crazy lady was on Route 1 dragging a deer across the street.
To see if there's a baby in there.
It me.
She's like looking at all roadkill to see if they're pregnant.
Well, no, I mean, just the ones that you can access easily.
I got
in
a
the pouch.
I can give you my boy's number and call him, and he'll come get it, and he'll eat the raccoons.
Okay. Oh, he'll make a soup?
Does yeah, he'll make a soup out of the babies.
That possum was on the pill.
I think raccoon soup has been outlawed for a while based on what happened in Wuhan. All right, we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.